Welcome back to Hitch Route, where nothing, and I repeat, nothing in today's NFL makes any sense any longer. Isn't that right, Alex?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm pretty sure that the Kenny Pickett-led Steelers beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers makes absolute sense.
Let me just repeat that for our audience who might not have heard. The Kenny Pickett-led Steelers just defeated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Do y'all need me to say it once more?
I don't think they need to hear it again, Rob.
Here's another one. The New York Jets went into Lambeau and defeated Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Defeated doesn't even go to the extent of what they did. They
bludgeoned. Bludgeoned, yeah. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Thank you.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Atlanta 28-3 Falcons defeated the San Francisco 49ers. Again, bludgeoned the San Francisco 49ers. 28-14. What is this new world that we live in, Frumpkin?
I don't know what world it is, but no matter what, I just wish that this bullshit benefited my Bears. We're always on the accurate wrong side of the beat. We had our monsoon game. That's what we got. Every other game, no, but it's going to go the way it's expected, pretty much.
Yes, the monsoon, which Mike Ditka ordered special on Uber Eats that night.
I thought I used Postmates, but that's neither here nor there.
It really isn't.
I think my greater point is that one could say that the NFL can be hard to predict.
No.
I mean, neither of us did a great job this past week. I had 50% of the games right. You got 5 games right.
Oh, my goodness. The Packers were literally favored by 7.5. I figured that would be safe from a survivor pick standpoint. You know, 7.5 points, more than a touchdown. Nope. No siree. Thanks, Jets. Much appreciated, Jets.
So, I was going to consider picking the Packers myself, but the very last moment I went against it because of the news that Carson Wentz hurt his throwing hand. And the Packers face the Commanders next week. So I was like, okay, I'll save him one more week. But the Packers this week should be fine, right? Right?
Right. Did you have either the Rams or the Buccaneers this week?
I selected both of them.
Nice. As did a lot of folks who had multiple accounts to play with. It seems the Rams and the Bucks accounted for an ungodly percentage of the picks this time, which, I mean, to be quite fair, more power to the people. I mean, they should have been the clear favorites. I was just going to say, you know, Matt Stafford did his very best. He did his very best to try to sink the ship by throwing his 9th pick 6 in the last 4 years or some stretch of time where the next closest guy has like 5. Does that man have a knack for hitting people other than his receivers in a spot where there is nothing but green in front of them.
Yeah, at least when Jameis Winston threw his picks, they don't normally end in pick sixes.
Yes. Yes. At least when Jameis threw interceptions, the entire drive had already been wasted because he had gone the length of the field only to throw a pick in the red zone.
That's a fun way of putting it. But red zone picks actually very often lead to the pick sixes because of the coverage. Nevertheless, Matt Stafford was down against the Panthers at one point even. And, you know, it was not a fun game of football to watch on many accords, but least of them perhaps being P.J. Walker.
P.J., what a guy.
What a guy.
What a guy he was not on this Sunday.
Indeed.
Shall we dive in?
We're not going to dive into that game.
No, we're not?
No, sir. In fact, I think we're going to move forward and change how we get into games a bit. We normally had like highlight games, but still gave some time to others just for a few minutes. But we decided it would be in our best interest to only focus on our highlight games moving forward. And normally that would be 6 to 8 games, depending on the schedule, and almost always factoring in the Bears and the Ravens when they play. But we got blessed by the Lord that the Bears played on Thursday night. so we are not talking about them. We are not talking about my Chicago Ursines.
Yes. It is funny how... I can't even that game, dude. I mean, the Bears were literally the better team. They were literally the better team for 4 quarters, and they lost like that.
We doubled their yards on the ground. We doubled their yards in the air.
Yes.
And we had 3 first and goals within the 5-yard line that led to 0 points.
Oh, my gosh, dude. So bad.
We watched Russell hashtag by the dip Wilson, and we said, let's have an even worse red zone offense if that's even possible.
At least on that night they did.
We did it.
On that night, at least, for sure. Anyway, that is the extent for which we will be discussing Bears Commanders.
Yes.
Moving on to the games which we actually intend to discuss.
The first one up is Vikings at Dolphins.
Juicy.
In a way, it was. The Dolphins definitely looked better than when they were facing an actual fearsome opponent in the New York Jets the previous week. I thought it was an okay performance from the Dolphins, given that they were without Tua, and that Kirk Cousins' Vikings are competent. But it was just a really interesting game. No scoring in either the first or third quarter from both teams. And it was a few big plays that I think defined much of it, like a 53-yard run by Dalvin Cook. But I think it's just really good that the Dolphins had reestablished the passing game, because it looked really bad with Skylar Thompson under helm.
Yeah, it's this was a game that really, I think, was defined by turnovers. By all accounts, the Dolphins somehow killed the Vikings across the box score. Total yards, Dolphins had almost twice as many. Passing yards, well over twice as many. First downs, twice as many. Third down efficiency, basically twice as efficient. But the Dolphins turned the ball over 3 times, which effectively just enabled. They also had 10 penalties for 97 yards. Yes, that's right, folks. The Dolphins came 3 penalty yards short of taking away an entire football field of field position from themselves during a 3-hour stretch. Oh, yes, and they coughed it up 3 times. And the Vikings won by a touchdown. Congrats, Vikings. Congratulations.
Yeah. I don't know how much more else there is to say, but That's when you took it to the football field. I was just going to say that penalties got more yards than Dalvin Cook.
The refs got more yards than our boy Dalvin. Yeah. Oh, and did I mention the Dolphins completely hammered them in time of possession? 35 and a half minutes versus 24 and a half?
Yeah, it was a pretty great disparity.
This is one of those games where, like, it's just a classic reminder of just how much turnovers mean in football. Like, you can literally dominate the other team, but if you give the ball away more times than them, like, you're probably going to lose. Especially depending on, like, situational factors, like when and where you turn the ball over. Just absolutely incredible. But
do you remember that game last year when not the Commanders, the football team facing the Buccaneers, and they ended the game on like a 23-play, 12-minute drive and barely scored a touchdown at the end to win the game? Does this ring any bells? Okay, Washington is not known for memorable football in the 21st century. But I would just say that it considering that, like, again, they took nearly the entire quarter on a single drive. Now imagine if instead of scoring at the very end, they threw a pick six.
Mm.
You know, it is these moments that just change so much about football, because it's a game of inches. And while there's a lot of times where you're churning the clock and moving methodically down the field, just one major mistake changes the course of everything.
Mm. Louder for the folks in the back.
Yeah, so the Dolphins did more good and they did more bad.
But indeed.
The more bad outweighed the more good.
Indeed it did. Moving on then, who we got next?
Bengals at Saints.
Ooh.
Better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, can I just say something about this game?
I'm not allowed to say anything about this game.
Well, it was worth a try. Moving on to the next game.
All right, I'll give you a chance.
Both these teams have some serious speed. I may have undersold the Saints receivers just a little bit. They got some dudes, and they got some dudes who can run fast. Also, Tre'Quan Smith, did not know that he was still a New Orleans Saint. Nice little throwback right there. He's still balling. You know, gotta give the man credit. I thought he had long since departed. I was wrong. Shows you how much I keep up with the Saints. You know, he showed up. The Bengals receivers are a matchup nightmare. You know, the trio of Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, I think it's pretty well established now they're the best wide receiver trio in football. And, you know, like whenever I watch the Bengals, I think, you know, I always think of them as the one team in the NFL that has such dynamic playmaking ability at their skill positions that they're almost able to compensate for what I believe can sometimes be deficient play in the trenches. You know, you and I, Alex, were just talking about this before the pod, how it has not been the best year for Joe Mixon, due in large part to the Bengals, shall we say, suspect offensive line at times. Well, that does not seem to matter as when Joe Burrow is feeling himself, and so are his receivers, because they just march the ball down the field at will, oftentimes making unbelievably acrobatic circus catches over defenders, you know, around the other side, across their body. And then they keep their balance and they keep running. I mean, it's really just quite a spectacle to behold. I mean, I do think the better team won the game, but, you know, hey, you know, you've got to give the Saints credit. They got out to a nice lead. Andy Dalton was mostly efficient. Dennis Allen did Dennis Allen things, but the Bengals also did Bengals things. And they have their vaunted defense, particularly in the second half, which, fun fact, has not yet given up a touchdown during the second half, the Bengals defense. That is unbelievable. That is actually insane. So, you know, great win for the Bengals, as much as it pains me to say it. You know, their defense, you probably can't name a single guy on their defense outside of like one or two men. But, you know, together collectively, they form a really stout unit, and they're really getting it done so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, this was kind of the story last year, given despite the offense was like on firing on all cylinders earlier, but their defense was very much a second half defense, really good at adjusting. And when you look at the box score, it's honestly phenomenal that that the Saints were in this game so much as they were. Like, the Bengals scored four touchdowns, and the Saints scored two. They just had so many field goals. But yeah, I mean, as long as you get somewhere down the field, that's what matters. The Saints' offense was pretty inefficient. Dalton barely completed more than half of his passes, barely eclipsed 150 passing yards. And to be fair, you know, you were talking about the dogs that they have playing at the receiver position in New Orleans. They were missing their top three guys. That's why you saw Tre'Quan Smith in the box score for once. They were missing Chris Olave, they were missing Jarvis Landry, and they're missing Michael Thomas. That's literally, like, imagine if the Bengals were missing Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. It's just not a game.
Not the same team, yeah.
Not the same team. The fact that Dalton did what he did, given how depleted they were, was very impressive. Yeah. I mean, sure, you're not getting into the red zone most of the time, but that's okay. You have Will Lutz kicking field goals.
Yeah. You know, the Saints, honestly, like, the Saints have a pretty deep bench of skill people between, you know, I mean, you just rattled off their top three guys, but it's pretty remarkable that after those top three guys, they still have dudes, you know, between Tre'Quan Smith, you know, Marquez Callaway. You know, it's like you said, Will Lutz is an absolute weapon.
Two after the big three, yes.
What?
Those two are the big two after the big three.
Indeed, they are. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that comes with the territory, I suppose, when you're not paying your quarterback anything. But or are they still paying Drew Brees? I wouldn't be surprised if they are.
I have figured they're not. I honestly didn't think they were. But
yeah. Anyway.
Anyways, yeah. At the end of the day, the Bengals are 3-3 now, and you know they are certainly trying their best to compete with your Ravens to win that division.
Indeed, they are. And what do you know?
Yeah, what do you know?
The very next game on our itinerary, the Ravens at the Giants. Yuck.
Yuck.
Yuck. Yuck was my response. Yuck was my response when center Tyler Linderbaum snapped the ball over Lamar Jackson's head and he had to chase it down, pick it up, and then, above all else, he hurls it into the middle of the field, thinking that something good is going to happen. Nah. Nothing good happened, Lamar. You got picked off. Your defense then gave away the saddest touchdown drive I've ever seen. I mean, it. Everybody watching that sequence knew it was only a matter of time before the Giants actually scored a touchdown. I mean, it was just slow, painful, bleed-out touchdown drive. And sure enough, Saquon gets in. The Ravens remarkably still have a chance. Down 24-20. Oh, after they had been leading 20-10, by the way. You know, earlier during the fourth quarter with 6 minutes left to go, they were up by 10, and they're now down by 4 in just 6 minutes. I know. I feel the same way. I know. And what does Lamar do but allow himself to be strip-sacked, thereby effectively ending the game? Do you know, Alex, the Ravens are now ranked third in overall DVOA and third in yards per play offensively in the NFL. They are one of only 39 teams in NFL history to have had a double-digit lead in all six of their first six games. And of those 39 teams, they are the only one in NFL history without a winning record. This is the 2022 Baltimore Ravens. So unbelievably wildly gifted on offense for three quarters, and so unbelievably disastrous and inept on both offense and defense in the fourth quarter. I don't understand it. I don't know how they fix it, but I do know this. If they keep this up, they are not a Super Bowl team. They are not a Super Bowl team if they keep this up. I want to give the Giants their props because the Giants came to play, as they have been doing for just about most of this season. And they really, you know, they really pulled out a great one on Sunday, much as they did against the Packers in London. Those are two very high quality wins, and they deserve credit for those. But my goodness, it should not have been a game. The Ravens were the better team from start to finish, and well, I take that back. They were the better team for the first 54 minutes, and then in the final six, they were by far the worst team. And that was enough to sink the ship once again. Nevermore, said the, nevermore, quoth the Raven. Nevermore.
You guys,
I'm done.
I feel like you're done.
I'm done now.
Okay, thank you. Do you think you guys are saying nevermore after the first time this happened, though?
What makes you say that?
Well, you know, the game against the Dolphins was in tremendous fashion, that particularly. But I imagine that once you've gotten to this third time that this has happened in the same season, in three of the past four games, or maybe five games, you know, it's really got to sting. It's really got to sting.
Yeah, it's not fun, man. I mean, it's you know, it's not fun being a fan of a team that is clearly, again, empirically, is wildly talented offensively, but they just don't seem to be able to tighten up when it matters, and it costs them. And, you know, penalties were a theme in this one. I think they finished with 10 penalties for 75 yards, so, you know, three quarters of a football field, as opposed to the 97, nearly the entire football field the Dolphins gave up. Both teams lost, by the way, Dolphins and Ravens. It's just disappointing. I mean, it's just, there's no other word for it besides, and like, when you're a fan and you watch this go down, you watch your team be so clearly better for the entire game, and then just completely fall apart while along the way shooting yourself in the foot an unbelievable number of times, to the extent that it should have never even been, you know, up for grabs at the end to begin with. But alas, it was, and you effectively let them grab it. It's just very frustrating. I personally did not watch another snap of football for the rest of the day, outside of a few quarters worth of the Eagles-Cowboys game, because by then I had started to cool down a bit. But I was just very, very frustrated. And I'm still frustrated because I don't know if the problem is so easily fixable. I really don't.
I can't say I blame you. Like, when my lovely Chicago Ursines destroyed themselves on Thursday, I essentially spiraled into football depression and refused to turn on a single game to watch it from my actual television for the entire weekend. And I had days to recover. And I knew my team was going to be bad. So when your team is up by a significant margin and this keeps happening, I just feel for you. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel for me too.
Don't we? Yeah. I suppose. I'm just thinking. You try and think about what went wrong. I think sometimes you can like find a point. Like, for example, with the Bills game, you could point to the Harbaugh decision, even though if that's something you get right, you know, that's something that people will laud you for. It was hard to think of like a decision or like a conscious choice that led to things falling apart, except like when you were describing Lamar got put into an absurd situation. And then he does this sometimes. He tries to make magic happen when it is ridiculous. And I don't remember what the yardage and down situation was like, but Lamar, you could just throw it away. That's allowed. It's not against the rules. But he's always trying to get the big play done for when he thinks something is feasible. Like, even in the last week's game, like, he threw a pass like that probably shouldn't have been thrown. And Mark Andrews was supposed to grab it, and then it bounced off his hands, and then Duvernay saved it. So, oh, look, we got the big play. But,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, there's been a lot of there's been a lot of reckless decisions this year, some of which he's been punished for, some of which he hasn't been. It's interesting. I saw a fascinating stat the other day that through these first six games, Mahomes and Lamar are the first and second worst, respectively, fourth quarter quarterbacks in the NFL this year. With both of them, ironically, being among the best quarterbacks in the first through third quarters. Which is, you know, really, I think, evidence of what you just described, which is this almost this superhero complex, which they believe they have, and which I think sometimes inspires them to make some poor decisions late in games when it counts. When in reality, if they were just a bit more patient, if they did a bit more diagnosing as opposed to instinctual reacting, then it might be a different story. But alas, here we are. This is where they stand. This is what Lamar has to clean up if the Ravens want to have any chance of making a deep playoff run, much less the playoffs. I mean, goodness gracious, they're 3-3. And I can make an argument they should be 6-0. Like, literally, after Buffalo and Philadelphia, the Ravens are third in the league in DVOA, and they have three losses. Because the timing of their lapses is so unbelievably unfortunate, they literally don't trail. They don't trail in games until the final moments. And then they have to be perfect in order to overcome that, usually with little to no time left whatsoever. And so they can't. And so they lose.
Yeah.
So it's just a tough situation, man. And honestly, I've never, you know, so many teams, their weakness or their identity, it's the same every year, or it's similar every year. I don't recall a Ravens team where this was their identity, where they just got out to these massive leads so consistently, and they just so consistently gave all of them up. Sometimes still pulling out the win, sometimes not. And it's just unfortunate. And they have nobody to blame but themselves.
Yeah, I couldn't have said any of that better myself. I think we're just going to let that air out and move on to the next game by featuring the other top two worst quarterbacks in the fourth quarter, Bills at Chiefs. This was a game for sure.
Yeah.
It was in fact
a football game.
Yes, by all legal definitions and also semantic ones. Nevertheless, it was not prime time. It was as close to being prime time as possible without being prime time.
Still don't get that, by the way. Still don't quite understand how that happened, but yes.
Clearly Broncos Chargers was more of a thrill.
Dude. okay, actually though, did they really have to be in prime time 4 times in the first 6 weeks? What did, was there no one who stood up and said, what if this backfires and they're awful? Like, did nobody raise their hand during the meeting and say that?
They paid him $250 million. There's no way this goes wrong.
There's no way he could possibly forget how to throw a 7-yard slant.
No, there really isn't. There's no
without way. Sailing it 10 feet over the guy's head.
I mean, this team did look great on paper, but geez,
that's because we literally made the very, very conservative assumption, the ultra conservative assumption, in fact, that Russell Wilson would not literally forget how to throw a football.
Even if Russell Wilson was a league average quarterback, you would think that this team would look a lot better than it's looked. But again, we will give them their game when we do. Bills and Chiefs, though, an actual game. Hence the semantics of game.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, similar to Lamar, made some critical mistakes. When you throw 2 interceptions compared to 0 interceptions from the other side, the forced fumble, you lose by 4, that's not a good look. Clearly, you had the opportunities to come out with the win.
Mm.
This Chiefs team looked really stagnant outside of Kelsey this past week.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'll just say this. Even in loss.
Actually, that's not. Juju Smith somehow eclipsed more than 100 yards. Yeah. And that was, I mean, Mahomes got more than 300 passing yards, but. If you get the just because you have the yards doesn't mean it really mattered that much because they lost. They scored 20 total points.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to say it, man. You know, even in defeat, Mahomes is an unbelievable talent. I mean, he might be the best pure talent I've ever seen play football.
That's disrespectful to Trent Dilfer, if I do say so myself.
Well, okay. After Trent Dilfer, okay. After our boy Trent. All right. Let me just throw that out there before I continue with my monologue on the greatness of Pat Mahomes. I mean, this man, like, and like, I'm not saying he's as physically gifted as Josh Allen because I don't think he is, but just his twitchiness. His ability to survey the entire field so quickly and then to almost always seemingly hit the mark. Almost always. And sure, he misses. Sometimes he misses badly. All quarterbacks do. But I mean, you know, this is just yet another game where I just shake my head at all of the NFL execs and insiders and media people who try to stand up there and say that Rodgers is a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. I'm sorry, but you don't get football, okay? You either don't watch the games or you do watch the games and you lie to yourself because there is nobody else like Mahomes. Nobody. There is nobody else like him. Josh Allen has moments when he can match Mahomes' greatness, in my opinion. He had plenty of those moments on Sunday, which is a big reason why they won the game. But I'm sorry, there's not another quarterback that I'm taking every single week besides Patrick Mahomes. There just isn't. There are other quarterbacks who can match him at their ceiling. I think both Allen and Lamar can match him at their ceilings. Only problem is, I don't often get the ceilings with either Lamar or Josh Allen. I feel like I almost always get the ceiling with Mahomes. And
just gonna say this. Mahomes has lost a Super Bowl. Allen and Lamar are undefeated in Super Bowls.
Does 0-0 mean you're undefeated?
Indeed. You have not lost in a Super Bowl.
I guess you're both winless and undefeated. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You and I are winless and undefeated in NFL games, Frumpkin.
Yes.
How does it feel? How does it feel?
I've never lost a Super Bowl. I've never lost a Super Bowl. Yeah, but on a more serious point, I don't know. I think Josh Allen hits his ceiling more than you're giving him credit. And I think that obviously Mahomes is a phenom. Not going to dispute that. I think when people say that Rodgers is better, they're referring to the total body of his work, because he still has the highest, at least maybe at the end of last season, he had the highest career passer rating and QBR in NFL history. You know, like he statistically has been an incredibly precise quarterback. This is one of the worst years we've ever seen from Aaron Rodgers. And while I personally feel joy that his greatness is coming to an end, it just feels so strange to me, because I've never seen the Packers play as poorly as they have. I mean, they play down to competition historically, but they've not just looked bad.
Yeah.
Through six games in the season like they have now, except when Rodgers was hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it very much feels like, it very much feels like this is uncharted territory for the Packers, at least for the Packers as of late. They look lost. They look lost. They look leaderless. And And this was supposed to be discussion about the Bills and Chiefs.
Yeah, you brought Rodgers into it. You brought Rodgers into it. Don't get me
wrong. I did, but my point still stands. I do believe Rodgers has the edge in precision. I'll give him that. But I would literally give Mahomes the edge in just about everything else. You know, just with respect to leadership qualities, sheer athleticism, arm angles, ability to come back from large deficits. I'm taking Mahomes every day of the week. Just sensational. Just an absolutely sensational player. And again, he lost. I get it. But I do feel like Josh Allen got a bit more help from his defense and a bit more help from his run game than Mahomes got from either. And even then, it was still a game right up until the very end.
Jeez, it's almost like the Bills are a better, well-rounded team. Isn't that remarkable?
Oh, I absolutely think the Bills are a better overall roster, 100%. But even then, Mahomes still almost got it done.
And that is why teams will always chase the quarterback.
Yes. Because
look at what Mahomes does. Look at what Joe Shiesty did. Given how depleted the Cincinnati Bengals roster outside of skill positions were last year.
Mm.
No, that's the name of the game.
Also, let this serve as your reminder that the Baltimore Ravens led this Bills team 20-3 at half. 20-3 at half. And then Lamar hits Andrews for what should have been counted as a touchdown to go up 27-3 before the refs decided to take that one away because Andrews pushed off. And because he pushed off, they ended up not scoring points on that drive inexplicably due to a failed fourth down conversion. And that's when the vaunted comeback began and they lost 23-20. So just throwing that out there. I'm not losing my mind or anything.
Duly noted. I think we've talked about this game and other tangential issues enough. Cowboys at Eagles. A game that... I mean, you know, it was a competitive game. I didn't love the performance really from either side, but the Eagles were the better team pretty much through and through. Cooper Rush, despite having been undefeated in his career prior to this game, is in fact not supposed to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. It just took some time for that to fully reveal itself.
Yeah, I got to be honest, folks. I never really bought into this. I mean, I just never bought into this idea that Cooper Rush was like a substitute for Dak. I just didn't. And like, you know, it's not like a guy can't have a bad game. Like, you know, Cooper Kush is still Cooper Kush. I wanted to say Cooper Kupp, and I wanted to say Cooper Rush, and I wanted to say them both at the exact same time.
Don't we all?
Cooper. I mean, sometimes, man, your name is so cool that like we just have to say your name and another cool person's name concurrently. And this is what happens when we try to do that. But for real, though, I'm sure Cooper Rush is, you know, he's a very capable player. And I think in this Cowboys scheme, I think the Cowboys have unquestionably their backup of the future. I mean, you know, they... You know, the backup job should be Cooper Rush's by default going forward. Kind of like Tyler Huntley with the Ravens. It's a lot like the Ravens situation to me. Both teams have another guy who can operate in the starter system, albeit not quite as dynamically, and the ceiling, in my opinion, for both is not nearly as high as it is for their respective starter. But they can both get it done, and they can both win games, and they've both proven that they can win games in the NFL. So, you know, again, Dak's a starter. He was always going to come back and start because he's getting a boatload of money to do just that. But if anything, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're thrilled with how well Cooper Rush has fared, not to mention all of the games that he has won for you and Dak's dead. I mean, there was a time when we were questioning whether your season was lost, and now your season is clearly not lost, thanks in large part to the steady play of Cooper Rush. So, great game, Eagles, but great game, Cowboys also. I think the Cowboys proved something that night.
And what's that? What'd they prove?
That they're never out of it, that they have the ability to, you know, to some extent, play well from behind. They play hard for their coaches, and they have a level of resilience that is to be commended, I think.
I mean, I think that's all fair, because the Eagles, you know, they scored 20 points in the second quarter alone. That's, I mean, granted, a lot of that's like a residual effect when you score at the 14:55 mark after doing the entire drive in the first quarter. But yeah, they scored 20 points in the second. And that's more than the Cowboys scored the entire game. But the Cowboys brought within a field goal. They just didn't have enough in them. But it'll be very interesting to see what this team looks like once Dak comes back, presumably this coming week.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But the Eagles are 6-0.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
That's a lot of wins.
Indeed.
If I found a really bad division, that's probably more wins than the top three teams in a really bad division.
Isn't that pretty crazy?
Yeah, that's more wins, I think, or maybe tied with the amount of wins in the AFC South in the top three, at least.
How about the fact that the Eagles are 6-0, the Giants are 5-1, and the Cowboys are 4-2, albeit one of those two losses is to the 6-0 Eagles?
Yeah.
How about this NFC East, man?
And, the Commanders are pretty far behind, but at least they didn't lose pace this past week.
At least Dan Snyder's very, very politely worded letter to all of the NFL owners did not have a single grammatical error from start to finish.
At least Dan Snyder is the kindest NFL owner in history.
At least Dan Snyder rubs shoulders with Mother Teresa at dinner.
Yes. Yes, that makes so much sense, considering they are both dead to me.
Indeed. And last but certainly not least,
okay,
the most beautiful, the most aesthetically pleasing, the juiciest display of football the entire weekend had to offer. It's by the dip Broncos at the Los Angeles. Justin Herbert has a fractured rib. Cardinals. Chargers. I'm tired.
Nice. Quality.
Yes. Yes. Definitely an intentional Freudian slip, ladies and gentlemen. Definitely intentional, for sure. How could you possibly think otherwise? Alex, what'd you think of this one?
I thought that, well, I mean, obviously we started this game and it looked like maybe, just maybe, Rob buying the dip this whole time was worthwhile.
Mm.
Started off, what, 10 for 10?
Mm. I was feeling myself. I was chirping like a birdie in that Discord of ours.
That you were.
In fact, I was convincing myself to buy more.
You have a serious problem, Robert.
for what it's worth, ladies and gentlemen, I did not buy any more after this game because even I have reached my breaking point.
That's very kind of you.
I fear I think I'm well enough invested by now that if they ever stage a comeback, I will be very handsomely compensated for all of my losses so far.
I don't know how handsomely you'll be rewarded because obviously your initial shares have taken a deep dive.
Yes, but I still think we're going to surpass the initial shares. So
interesting.
Yes, okay. Yes. I still believe, my friend, I'm sorry, but I still believe I'm not buying, and it may not be this year. It may not be this year. It may be next year once they have a real head coach. I'm serious. It may not be in 2022 because I seriously am starting to wonder if Nathaniel Hackett is just driving Russell Wilson into the ground. There is no explanation for why he is playing this badly and why he is suddenly so unbelievably inept. There's just no explanation for it other than he is doing too many commercials. That's the only thing I can think of. That's it. That's all I can think of.
One might also argue he practices high fives too much, given the amount of practice he needs on 7-yard slants.
Maybe a few too many practice high fives. Maybe a few too many of those.
Yeah, but this, it just wasn't a great game, to say the least. I mean, Justin Herbert is still not fully there. But the Chargers did enough. And this is, again, without Keenan Allen. They should finally get a resurgence on offense, I believe, once the man Keenan is back in the mix. Because Mike Williams, I don't think, could be an alpha in an offense. They'll benefit greatly once someone like Keenan's there. And, like, for a fantasy perspective, he could be the number one guy. But in real football, no. I don't think an offense.
Real football.
Real football.
Yes. Obviously the antithesis of fantasy football. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I still think Brandon Staley is a defensive coordinator posing as a head coach. And I believe Nathaniel Hackett is a non-coordinator posing as a head coach. Kind of the story of this game to me is that neither of these coaches belong. And neither of their quarterbacks were playing nearly to the level that we know they're capable of. At least in Justin Herbert's case, he had a medical excuse. In Russell Wilson's case, well, I suppose he did too, with the quote unquote partially torn lat. Yeah. But I'm sorry, I don't know how much exactly I buy into that. Although, who knows, man? Maybe when that lat's partially torn, maybe, you know, you just sail everything 5 yards further. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he is sailing everything 5 yards further, at least.
Injuries do make you push it further.
Yes, he is. He is sailing everything an additional 5, sometimes an additional 10. So it's just bad, man. It's really bad, and it's really disappointing if you're a Broncos fan. All that anticipation, all that hype, and this is what you get. It's just really, really unfortunate. It's just unfortunate. I mean, who saw this coming?
Not many. They're now 2-4. That's not great.
Not great at all. But with that, we want to thank y'all for hanging with us as we recap that unbelievably wild Week 6 in the NFL. Just the latest addition to what has been an unbelievably wild season so far. Just as we're always promised each and every year, and just as we are always delivered. And we look forward to catching up with you guys with our next part, where we will preview Week 7, run through our predictions, and tell you which teams, both Alex and myself, no longer are in the playoff race. Peace out, everybody.
Till next time.